Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, thank you very much for inviting me up first. I know there's a lot of people here that may parrot some of the things that I want to say, and I know that the reason that you're considering this tax is because you need to fill some budget holes, and it's always the reason that taxes are considered. However, it's important for me to make sure I do my job and that you understand some of the effects that that this will cause. The e-cigarette business is something that my members have begun to rely on the past few years. My members operate gasoline service stations and convenience stores, and they have always used tobacco products as an important profit center. And every time that we increase taxes on tobacco products of any kind, and I understand the reasoning behind that, and some of it's a good reasoning. We all, I don't think there's anybody in this room that would say smoking of tobacco products is a good idea for anybody's health. However, every time we do that, we don't really recoup the amount of revenue that we say we're going to, because it has an effect on what people do and the behavior that they display towards these products. In response to that, my members and many other small businesses have begun to rely on other products because those sales have gone down. So now they've used their entrepreneurship, their ingenuity, and they have begun to sell these other products that actually have a better profit margin and can take the place of the revenues that they've lost from the tobacco products, which I have to assume is a good thing. If we have somebody sitting next to us smoking a cigarette, would we prefer that person, or would we prefer a person smoking a vapor cigarette? So there are benefits from all angles, but it's important that I know that you understand what this will do to the small businesses that have invested into this particular type of retailing to make up for the revenues that they are losing from the depletion of tobacco sales, which is a good thing. So you need to understand that. And the part that's very confusing to me is that there is not one single person, legislator or people or persons in the industry that I have spoken to that believes that the tax that comes, the revenue that we get from this tax will be more than $5 to $7 million a year. And I know that it's been proposed that this will bring in about $35 million in revenue. And in light of the fact that we're faced with an $800 million shortfall that needs to be filled in the next 2 months, it's confusing to me why any legislative body would consider overestimating a tax revenue to that degree. And I know that you've got some amendments there that will create more revenues from other tobacco products, that these amendments are being considered today. But that also is going to change behavior. And we are going to, those sales will deplete, as is the intention. But then we won't realize those revenues, and at the same time we're going to be putting a disincentive on the one product that's a growing market that, even if it's not scientifically proven yet, I believe that common sense has to tell us that vapors are going to be less harmful to everybody, the person inhaling it and the people around the user, than a tobacco product. So even though you've got these amendments to increase other taxes, the same behavioral modification will take place. My members will sell less of those products. They'll be looking to sell more of the vapor products. And such a severe tax on the vapor products is going to be harmful in that area. And that's what is important for me to bring across to you today. I'm sure you're going to hear a lot of other testimony, you know, that may parrot some of that with some other additions. But thank you very much for hearing me. If you've got any questions, I'd be happy to.
Mr. Chairman?
Yeah. Oh, good. Okay. Governor.
Listen, using this to fill a budget hole is the last thing on my mind, sir. And that's absolutely outrageous, okay? This is being done because they should be taxed at the same level that tobacco products are. Nothing more, nothing less. Parity. Until such time as science can prove otherwise, this is where we're headed as a society. And that's all we're doing. And I think it's fair. And I think the people you represent who would be opposed because they think it's going to hurt them, if somebody's going to say, well, geez, I'm not going to do the vapor anymore, I'm going to go back to the cigarette when it's the same cost, don't think so, sir. If you're going to smoke, either way, you're still going to buy those products at the people you represent stores. Simple as that. But this is just about parity and doing the right thing for society, sir.
Through the chair, with all due respect, Senator, I do respect your opinion. I think otherwise, and I think it will be a disincentive to right. use a product.
Well, let me tell you something. As governor, when we did, I did the smoking ban, and all the restaurant owners were like really saying very vociferous things against me, all right? Years later, they all said, you know what, Gov? We were wrong. Not only did it not hurt our business, it helped our business almost to a man or a woman right down the line. So I think your fares are totally unwarranted, sir, on this issue. Thank you anyway.
You're welcome.
Sal, I just want to know if you have any empirical data or evidence that would support your argument that this will create a disincentive to purchase the product, or is it just sort of what you think, logic?
Statistical or empirical data. I only have the feedback from my members that have begun, their comments are exactly this. We have begun to realize a new market, a new product and sure. a revenue stream, and it makes sense that any time we add any kind of a tax or economic burden on a product, that it's harmful to those that sell it. And this is not just a little bit of an increase. This is a tremendous increase. So it just would make sense that their fear is justified.
I think in some ways, you know, if you were to increase the price of milk or bread or something that's a necessity to the extent that people couldn't afford to buy it or would think about not buying it at that place, maybe somewhere else. But you're talking about people who are addicted to nicotine, or they're addicted to the e-cigarette, whether addicted to traditional smoking, traditional cigarettes, it's unlikely that they'll have a big effect. I remember back when we raised the tax on cigarettes, and we did the Clean Indoor Air Act. When we raised the taxes years ago, and after the settlement money, that the retailers said that, and I remember the folks from the variety of convenience stores coming in, the lobbyists telling us that this is their main leader, cigarettes, coffee. When you raise the price, you're going to hurt our business, and you'll see shops close, people lose jobs, industries flee the state. None of those things happen. You know, the sky always falls when we try to do something that's different, that changes the paradigm. And I got to tell you, from someone who is more interested in the public health aspect of this, frankly, if someone quits smoking because it's too expensive or quits vaping because it's too expensive, that's okay with me, because one way or the other, they're addicted to smoking. And we can get into this issue later on, but, you know, the e-cigarette companies who are now getting into the business, whether it's Lorelei or R.J. Reynolds or the others, Altria, they recognize that this is a billion-dollar industry. While traditional cigarettes are going this way in terms of use, and they see an opportunity for e-cigarettes to make that replacement, although much smaller, they see billions of dollars, and they see an opportunity to addict in a brand-new generation of people. Because once they're hooked, they're hooked, and they could try to manage their nicotine intake, but it's still a real challenge. So I acknowledge that it may be at some level hurt sales of some of these cigarettes, some of these e-cigarettes or traditional cigarettes at the point of purchase. Although this tax, by the way, is at the wholesale level, so it's up to the wholesaler and the manufacturer to pass that cost along, whether all or in part. It's not on the tax stamp, it's not on the sales tax side, it's on the wholesale side. So they'll make that decision themselves, whether or not to either eat the increase or pass all of it or portion of it along to the consumer.
Once again, Mr. Chairman, I do respect your opinion. I needed to express the opinion of my members.